Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where Richard Dean Anderson is in our dreams every night, at least mine. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Child endangerment, Henry Gilbert.
Awesome. And?
Fiddling with cords, Chris Antista.
That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And today's episode is Homer Alone, which aired on February 6, 1992. And Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
Funny you should ask, cuz
BAM!
God! Russian President Boris Yeltsin is on a whirlwind tour of the U.S. to improve relations. Intel announces a partnership with Japanese company Sharp to create more of those increasingly popular flash storage mediums. Mm. And New Kids on the Block make a surprise appearance on the Arsenio Hall show to disprove allegations of lip-syncing.
Ooh. Wow, that was in the air because of Milli Vanilli, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody had to prove it.
But that's how... Don't you feel really old? Like, that was... They lip-sync?
Yeah.
Everybody lip-syncs. Yeah, because nobody cares.
If you're dancing around, you can't sing an entire song.
Yeah,
you know?
Guess what? When Britney Spears did her pole routine, no one really thought she was singing.
Wait a minute. You have extreme, like, the best cardio ever, like, you can't do that. Yeah. That's why, I mean, opera singers stand in place. They don't dance around. Like, it's...
Bruce Springsteen grunts, never moves his feet.
And he sweats all the time.
Yeah.
I've heard that Henry Rollins, in his performance, sweats so much that they have to change out the microphone because he shorts out the mic.
Jesus Christ.
He's just holding it and shouting into it.
So, important announcement. This is the 50th episode of The Simpsons, which
means
the 50th episode of Talking Simpsons.
We've done 50 episodes.
50, this is our 50th
that's
recording.
A full year, I guess.
If you count the bonus episode on Patreon, that, by the way, that's 51.
Yeah, that's right. We have a season 2 wrap-up, and if you haven't heard it, how can I convince you? It's great.
It's fantastic. And a whole hour of trivia about season 2 and commercials and ads, all kinds of great stuff.
Oh, it's perfect. But, wow, already at 50, man.
Yeah.
It feel like it'll be soon enough that Bart takes Santa's little helper to school and Skinner gets fired.
Great. I love that one. And this episode starts off with some fantastic animation.
Dude.
Roadrunner-style intro.
Chucky Jones, baby.
Yeah.
No one calls him that. Don't do it.
Yes.
I love that in that moment because as a kid because... There were so many references on The Simpsons, it just flew over my head.
Yeah.
But here was one I knew the second it was
excellent point. Like, excellent. Because like this and Raiders, I'm like, I get that.
Such great animation. And doing slow motion in animation is the most intensive, time-consuming, expensive thing you can do. And they do it in this episode on a TV budget. It's great.
Now, a behind-the-scenes thing about this episode is called Homer Alone. And there's like one joke that's a visual reference to Home Alone.
Really?
But when Homer sees Maggie is gone, he does the clap.
I totally missed
that. But it's also written by David M. Stern,
right.
Brother of Daniel Stern, co-star in Home Alone.
Is he Harry or Marv?
The tall one who screams when I forget the character's name.
Yeah. Oh, Marv? He screams with the spiders on his face.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah, and
we're the wet bandits.
Well, I know who Joe Pesci is, but I didn't know the character's name.
But they talk about it
behind
the scenes.
Was at that time my dad and I were closer than ever before. That's Daniel Stern.
Too bad Kevin Arnold became a burglar. That's really sad.
Behind the scenes, David M. Stern, it was known as the guy who got the women. He wrote this very Marge-centric episode. I believe his first one was Principal Charming.
Yeah.
And he will go on to write Selma's Choice, the one with Jub-Jub, the introduction of Jub-Jub.
I think Marge has been pretty poorly utilized this season. The show's getting really great.
Very much so. But they're really building on her character, especially with this episode.
If you see her in season 2, she is just like... this idea is bad.
And her catchphrase was,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm here to a transition between jokes. But I love, she's not the butt of this joke, but I love it so much, especially Dan Castellaneta rambling, just to emphasize how, like, Marge is going slowly crazy due to the pressures of life and family.
Where's my lucky red cap? Mom, where's my lucky red cap?
Mom,
I hate those
conventional
things.
They
make me gag.
Marge, I split my pants again. Can I have two sandwiches today? Make the bologna sandwiches, too. I have two slices of bologna.
One at a time!
Double bologna! Don't forget to make it double bologna.
This was a famous episode in our family because my mom constantly referenced Rancho Relaxo.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she would say, like, I need to go to Rancho Relaxo. This is making... It was her way of saying, I'm very stressed right now, or I'm unhappy. I want to leave. Now, definitely she was expressing her want to not be in a relationship with my father anymore. I was getting that, but...
But it took another 30 years.
It was a slow boil
only
on
25.
That.
I suppose.
But she always referenced Rancho Relaxo. Like, she imagined, she dreamed of going to Rancho Relaxo or a similar type thing.
And now
I want to go back in time and, like, I was a 10-year-old. I couldn't probably save up the money for it anyway. But I was also a spoiled, selfish 10-year-old that I wasn't going to anyway.
You could have just, I don't know, ironed your own pants. I have no
but
idea
I
what your mom did
but
for
I
you.
But I could have pressured my dad into doing it, though my dad would only spend money on himself. But anyway,
I was wondering, though, if this episode got you to empathize with your mom, because the idea of a housewife was still very strange to me, because all my friends had moms that worked. My mom worked, so I knew my mom worked hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had one friend with a mom that was a housewife, and it felt so strange. Like, does this still happen? But yeah. I don't know if either of your moms were just housewives.
No, my mom worked all the time, though my dad still put on her the expectations, like, you raise the kids.
The woman's work,
And you make food, and you do the laundry, and this house not being clean is your expectation. But at the same time, she still was expected to do a job. Like, it's a shitty deal.
Yeah.
It's a real shitty deal.
And I'm
deal.
Sorry if I said just a housewife, because that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah,
for
I mean, this
someone
is emphasizing how big a job it is. And I didn't see it a lot. I saw it with in cases like The Simpsons. If you have more than two kids, a housewife is kind of necessary.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have a lot of money for daycare.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
unless
that,
you
yeah.
can constantly cart people. Even remembering, like, what time elementary school and middle school, they're wildly different. You would be driving around for the first 3 hours of your day and the last 3 hours of your day, period. That's what you do.
Yeah. I mean, that's why one of our friends, the only friend we have who has kids, he has two kids now, that he's a stay-at-home dad. Like, and it's needed. Mm-hmm. And his wife, unfortunately, has a high enough paying job that they don't need a double income, but most people aren't that lucky, you know? How did Bart leave his hat behind the toilet? And how did Marge know that?
That's a great little joke, though. It's also very
behind
disgusting.
The toilet. Yeah.
It's a lead into the George Costanza joke where you take your shirt off.
Oh,
take
right.
a dump. It's great. It's great. Try it.
And then Homer loves double bologna. He wants double
bologna.
Sandwiches.
Double bologna. I love Dan Castellaneta's. It's his light improv here. All he is louder than normal, which is hilarious.
That happens later when they're all talking when she comes back, too. And I love it.
Oh, yeah, I did love that.
Those are huge pimentos, by the way. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, if you can pop them out like
pimento?
Second episode in a row with bologna featured.
I hate bologna. I hate it, man. I like most lunch meats.
And again, this is a chronological breakdown of The Simpsons. One of my goals is to capture every single Phil Hartman character, no matter how small. Mm. And he just pops up on the radio... early on as a nameless character.
Oh, this miserable stress headache. Feels like there's a rat in my brain.
It's time for another Bill and Marty classic prank call.
Hello, is this Mr. Justin Sherman?
Yes.
Sir, your wife is dead.
Oh, God, no.
That's right. She just walked through a plate glass window. There's blood everywhere.
I just talked to her.
I love that that's part of what's driving Marge crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there
morning
are
zoo, the morning zoo.
There are so many things leading up to this, like Bart and Lisa missing the bus, fighting
it's
in the backseat,
so
Marge going across town to find the right bowling shop to help
Homer's.
I don't know what Nick's telling you.
And I noticed that the second Nick's in the background is a signed picture of Jacques from season
Albert
1.
Brooks.
Who I wonder if Marge looked at that on her way out and like, what I could have had, what am I doing? I wonder if Jacques is still free.
I also implore all of our listeners to go frame by frame to that Marge freakout animation.
It's so cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's horrifying. There are drawings of Marge you'll never see again.
With that spoiled milk on her, too.
Yeah.
I think yeah, Marge's freak out, they do it so well. Like, I felt tension yeah. watching mm. it.
I don't think I did as a kid, but I think I'd recently had to prepare to go on vacation for 2 weeks, and that's sort of how I felt. Mm. Everything that what oh god, I'm so tired. I've been preparing everything. Oh, someone stole my credit card. Wonderful. Yes. This is awesome. The whole world is against me. Oh, the IRS didn't get my money. Great. I have 12 hours left in town.
This episode also uses a device they would use many times. The swirling heads around a character repeating things like yes. O.J. Morphine
Iron
Flobo.
Helps us play.
Yeah.
Or it's Shelbyville, Ogdenville, North Haverbrook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they often repeat those heads when they need to kill time.
And one of my favorite recurring yet underutilized characters, Arnie Pie in the Sky, reporting when Marge just stopped. Her car on the bridge.
This is Arnie Pie with Arnie in the Sky. We've got big problems on the Springfield Memorial Bridge, people. Traffic going way back in both directions. And look out at the corner of 14th and Elm, because I just dropped my bagel.
It was weird how Ken Brockman just sort of teleported into the helicopter.
They have a petty spat, in the middle of the news.
Yeah.
This is Kent Brockman reporting live from Arnie Pie's traffic copter. But I can assure you, this is no mere morning traffic report.
Hey!
Face the facts, Arnie. An overworked and underappreciated housewife has snapped and parked her car on the bridge, refusing to budge.
Did you notice that Wiggum has blue hair in here, and it's his first consistent blue hair. Yeah, it was black in the last episode.
That's totally right. Yeah, they finally got Wiggum the right color.
Yeah, it is finally correct.
He also just had a note of the distressed mother police tape.
Yeah.
I didn't get as many sound effects as I normally would from this because there are a ton of visual gags. Please go watch this episode.
I did like the bits in the traffic, the gangster saying, there's a body in the truck. That should have been Fat Tony.
Yeah, why wasn't that Fat
Maybe they
Tony.
Couldn't get was it Joe Mantegna?
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't get Joe Mantegna, and he wasn't their set gangster anymore. And then I like the cuteness of Krusty and Mr. Teeny hanging out. There's Jock.
But Krusty
everywhere.
Sounded wrong. He sounded like much older Krusty.
It was a little higher pitched. I
didn't catch that.
It wasn't exactly right. And I also did like when Homer finally arrives.
Yeah.
Eddie and Lou have a they laugh and they're like. I like that little bit there.
I do enjoy a Wiggum telling Homer what to say, tell her you love her.
This is, I made a note of that. This is the last time Wiggum is smarter than Homer.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it's pretty much set up that the stupidest person in the town is Wiggum. He's the only person dumber than Homer. He was the one who, in the start of season 5, he's the one who'll think, it's a ghost car!
Exactly, yeah.
Ghost car!
And that's why they can't use that dynamic between him and Quimby anymore, which they only use in 2 episodes, because Wiggum is too stupid to be that character anymore.
I was just going to say that, not just as an excuse to play the sound effects. I do love this scene.
It's a great argument.
But yeah, he has to be smart enough to throw these fucking 1940s cliches.
You're writing checks, your butt can't cash.
Beautiful sketch of Phil Hartman and John Lovitz where they're yelling at each other at an old movie studio. It's so great.
Tells him straight.
Ever G. Robinson versus JFK, essentially.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, don't you worry, Mr. Mayor. This little bird will be cracking rocks.
Let me just say, but Marge is pulled out of it. She emerges from the car only to be arrested.
She is immediately arrested. Oh, also, and Homer says, maybe we can snuggle. Mm. And everybody laughs. It's the first ha-ha in forever. I feel like we haven't heard a ha-ha in a while.
It's definitely happened before.
Which is when we're going to get a deluge of ha-ha. Soon. They overdo ha-ha, but...
Marge is in jail, but it looks like Springfield is sympathetic.
Don't you worry, Mr. Mayor. This little bird will be cracking rocks by the end of the week.
Wiggum, you glorified night watchman, let her go.
But she broke the law.
Thanks for the civics lesson. Now listen to me. If Marge Simpson goes to jail, I can kiss the chick vote goodbye. And if I go down, you're gonna break my fall.
Word to the wise, Quimby. Don't write checks, your butt can't cash.
Hear me loud and clear, Wiggum. You bite me, I'll bite back.
You talk the talk, Wimby, but do you walk the walk?
I hereby declare today to be Marge Simpson Day in the city of Springfield.
They're like trained seals. Toss them a fish and watch them slap their fins together.
I love that scene. It's like in a dark room with goons standing behind each one of them.
And it cuts right to Quimby giving that speech. And you can see Wiggum looking like, ugh.
and then they really have a poor thoughts of politicians here. Mm-hmm. He just immediately is like, yeah, I'm selling you out. This is, I'm getting you your approval right now. But that, they would have a similar, they'd have the scene of the chick in the crying game is really a man. I mean, man, wasn't that a great movie? In the Marge, the one Marge actually goes to jail. They have that scene together. And they'll have the last one of these scenes, as I recall, was in the monorail episode. Mm. They argue over, like, no, I'm the one in charge. Wait, no, I'm the one in charge.
I wish that kept up.
Yeah.
I like that Homer, after the things, he's like, all's well that ends well. He's like, time to bury these problems. Like, your problem's done. We fixed it.
And that's when Marge sees the Rancho Relaxo commercial on TV.
Yeah, I didn't want to grab that just because I grabbed too much Troy McClure describing Rancho Relaxo.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I really love about this episode, it's going to sound weird. I like the way Julie Kavner says vacation. Vacation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I missed that.
It's slightly vaginal. Huh?
I don't know what accent that is, but it comes up a lot in Chicken Scratchy Land.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Though, you know, if I may talk about my terrible family again. No, if I may talk about my family again, is my dad was always worried of, like, oh, you want to take a trip without me? That's when you'll leave me. Like,
I'm like that all the time.
We see how codependent Homer is. Like, oh, you're going to divorce me.
I'm a poor guy trying to live his dream as my girl has gone out and got a graduate degree and a good job. And every time she goes anywhere, I'm like, this is where she decides. She learns, comes to her senses.
Well, in my dad's defense, my mom did probably hear from all of her family when he's not around, like, why? Leave him. Like, he was probably right to be suspicious of that, but
Troy McClure will tell you about Rancho Relaxo.
I love Rancho Relaxo.
Oh, hello, and welcome to Rancho Relaxo. I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such films as Today We Kill, Tomorrow We Die, and Gladys the Groovy Mule.
Gives a thumbs up.
But today you'll see me in my greatest role. Your video tour guide to Rancho Relaxo. Our tour starts in your very own room, where Relaxo Vision offers you the latest Hollywood hits. And after midnight, the finest R-rated movies Europe has to offer. Ooh la la. Today's selections are
Thelma and Louise, The Happy Little Elves Meet Fuzzy Snuggle Duck, and The Erotic Awakening of S.
So, there's a lot to take out there, but I think the softcore porn at this point had moved far beyond European sex films. Like,
no.
They were watching, like, Red Shoe Diaries and stuff. They were watching Emmanuel.
I feel like it's a cut-rate operation,
though. Emmanuel was totally on Cinemax during this era.
You're right.
She had a series, like, 3 years later.
Emmanuel in Space.
Yeah, Emmanuel in Space. This all happened.
No, yeah, but
The Erotic Adventures of S.
The Erotic Awakening of S. I believe it's a reference to the story of O.
Yeah, it was the first, like, BDSM.
It was. It popularized
something.
BDSM in America, but it was and it was just, like, it was a lightly kinky film. Like, if you watched it today, you'd be like, what? Why did people freak out about this?
I feel out of the loop on BDSM. You guys need to show me the way. Can we do it on mic?
I mean, it was the usual BDSM, just the male side of the fantasy of, like, yes, this woman likes being beaten and have horrible things happen to her and be tied up. Well, hey, you know, I don't, if that is what one, the sub and the dom have important aspect on it, I'm not judgmental in there, but
yeah, consent.
I think it's not surprising that the one that where the woman was the sub was the one got much more popular than where the man was the dom. That's even been
that's
in
like a
50
Shades
of Grey.
Yeah,
it continues to this day. Which though Story of O, I think makes people have said like makes 50 Shades of Grey look so tame by comparison.
It is mom porn essentially.
But also the you know in the original script, Marge was going to go to a motherhood institute.
Yeah.
They pitched it out, and they didn't like it when
just
the
had a fatherhood institute.
Maybe that is it, that they realized it would be redundant. So then they came up with Rancho Relaxo.
It's great to see Marge by herself enjoying herself.
Yeah.
I feel like if she went to that institute, we'd see more harried mothers, and it would be a lot of jokey stuff.
It'd be jokes there. Yeah. Instead of finding out what Marge's interior life is like, and this wasn't in the Troy McClure clip, but in the commercial Marge watches, I swear, in the hot tub, they drew that woman topless. Like, they don't show her nipples, but unless she's wearing a very low-cut, like, top, that she's topless.
Well, animators are all pervs.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things, like, how'd this get through? This would never air even, like, two years later.
We can't see butt cracks anymore. They're illegal. Mm-hmm. We have Bart and Lisa going to Patty and Selma's, which I think is a great life and health style, like, slow observational scene in which, like, I remember as a kid, like, going to a strange house. Everything is boring. The TV's boring. The food is all strange. Yeah. And you just want to leave. And I like the first scene with Bart and Lisa eating. We can see all the locks on the door in the background. Like, they are trapped in this apartment. Yeah. It's very claustrophobic.
It's all dark. I'm sure this was not as a plot device, but, like, is that how bad Homer is at at his capability of taking care of the children?
I think Marge realized that three kids is too... I mean, Maggie was going to go with Patty and Selma. It was just going to be Homer by himself.
I love Maggie's strength. Like, it's impossible. Baby has... Like, Sweepy would have that strength.
It's one of my favorite comedic moments. I don't know if it works well in audio.
Maggie really doesn't want to leave the house. Maybe she should just stay with you.
Are you sure that's wise? Uh-huh. I'll probably trade her for a beer and a nudie magazine.
For your information, I can take care of my... See? Got her in the first bounce.
But I do love the specificity of Patty and Selma's life. Like, not only they say, we got 6 months of maternity leave we're never going to use, but also that they have lived alone, but they've lived together for so long that in the same bedroom, too, of just like, I wouldn't want to sleep in the same bedroom as my twin.
That is a little creepy.
And then also that they live such horrible single lady lives of, it forever turned me off to, like, before I even would have tried it, Clamato, Mr. Pibb, and soy milk, though I am an almond milk fan, but that was that was, of course, they're like, oh, what a gross single
tongue sandwiches
tongue sandwiches and Mr. Pibb and Clamato is, who likes Clamato?
Gross. And I thought it was a joke when I first heard about it.
I was sure it was a joke.
I love how bleak and awful their cheap apartment is. There is not a single window in that apartment. It's just so claustrophobic and stifling and gray.
I know. Oh, and I do, when Marge leaves at the train station.
Oh, I got that.
All aboard for Shelby Mill, Badwater, Kettle Skull, Testing Grounds, and Rancho Relaxo.
Goodbye, homie.
Goodbye? Where's my clean underwear?
Check the dryer.
How often should I change Maggie?
Whenever she needs it.
Marge, how do I use the pressure cooker?
Don't.
That's my line of show. Yeah. I use the pressure cooker. Like, don't start now using the pressure cooker. Just don't touch it. Order out every night. Like, I don't care.
That was a great choice. It's the worst thing Homer could possibly operate, causing the most damage.
I couldn't use a pressure cooker. Like, I would never touch that thing.
I would give it line of the show. There's so many things. In the middle of the show is just lines. One, that are catchphrases between me and my friends.
Yes.
Two, that cracked me up when I was 12. Three that cracked me up as an adult, and I don't know, I could burn through them real fast.
Sure.
Because this, as a little kid, Barney visiting, I thought was hysterical.
It is still great.
Hi, Barney. Thanks for keeping me company. No problem. Wow, wow. If it is a little Bart. Remember your Uncle Barney? Hey, Homer, let me hold him.
All right, but just be careful. Whoa! Someone smells stinky!
Oh, it's me.
That is a kid. That's a perfect kid joke.
It's great.
Yeah.
I like how Homer doesn't correct Barney. Like, no, this is Maggie.
It'll be Bart again when you come over in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, that is something I fear of, like, being, you know, someday I'll see the kids like, oh, I thought you were 4. I'm 10 now. Oh, Jesus Christ. Time moved forward. I don't like this.
I also miss when Homer and Barney were just friends
and
they hung out. I feel like in a year or two, he would just be the drunk in the room to make one joke after a bunch of things happen.
That's true. They keep forgetting. In the early seasons, they remember, like, they were old buddies, and when Homer has someone to hang out with, it's Barney first. But Lenny and Carl really took that spot.
Yeah.
Like, that Lenny and Carl would have been the ones to come over in a season.
You do remember
seven.
There's like a decade period where, like, if Homer's in a bar, Barney couldn't be there because he got sober.
Yeah, I hate that.
Thanks, Dan Castellaneta and his wife for writing an episode where he sobers up.
Their friendship is so sweet, especially how Barney wants to make him omelets. Like, he really wants to make Homer omelets. Yeah.
Two kinds of cheese!
The Simpsons will be right back.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. I went to a minor league baseball game.
Yeah, it looked like good seats.
They were excellent seats. And you know what they serve for food there? Because I've been to the fucking Giants game. They had like six things. They had hot dogs, bratwurst, cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, potato salad, famous bratwurst, and beer. It's $28. How much do you think we got? All of it. I'll ruin it. Spoiler. All of it. Free. As much as you wanted.
For $28? $28.
And guess how much beer? You get these three tickets in your wristband for free. Three free beers.
Nice.
All local breweries.
Wow.
And like, I rented a ticket. It's such like this weird community of like lovable, enormous lesbians who just live this, who live Madison Mallard games. And they're like, I gotta take off. Anybody want my beer tickets? She says to everyone. And then kids turn around like, I don't need mine either. And then like handing out their beer tickets. And I got to a point where like I couldn't get drunk on beer anymore. Mm-hmm. But I just drank so much beer. $29. Get bonus time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again. Is this the first mention of Patty and Selma's love for MacGyver?
I think it is. I think we've never heard it. It would be an important plot point later this season.
Yes.
Best MacGyver ever. Mm-hmm. Richard Dean Anderson will be in my dreams tonight.
Thank God that we're bringing this up right when MacGyver's coming back.
Yeah. Wait, it is?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
on the back of MacGruber?
Really weird. Yeah.
Okay.
And he looks more like MacGruber than he looks like MacGyver.
Wow.
He's really young.
It was a dated reference then because MacGyver is a mid-80s show and its final episode would air months after this episode.
That is the only episode of MacGyver I have ever seen.
The final episode?
I forget what it was, but like that year, God, I wish it would probably go through it on 30-20-10 at some point, but like every NBC show that I'd grown up, that's air quotes because I'm really young and it feels like these things have been on the air for eternity, but all these 5 to 7 year old shows were ending within 2 weeks on NBC. And that was one of them.
Man, what a bloodletting in NBC.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
And I think the joke here is like everything about Patty and Selma's life is just steeped in mediocrity and blandness. And this is the thing that they would enjoy because it was not a great show. I mean, now we can look back at it ironically for the cheese factor, but they were enjoying it like sincerely and getting off on Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah, what a great adventure. He finally figured it out. Who'd have thought it?
There's so many things I wanted to clear the line of the show. Homer's lullaby cracks me up that he doesn't know a simple lullaby.
May your Christmas days be nice. Good night, my little pork chop.
That is sweet, though. They say in the commentary he was meant to be animated drunk.
Yeah, he's supposed to be drunk in that scene.
He got drunk with Barney, and that's how he didn't see her leave.
I wonder if he left Maggie at home and went to Moe's.
That's
probably why Barney came over. Somebody to buy the booze.
Yeah.
But
he couldn't find the car seat.
So they misanimated it, but I think that's even darker of just like, I'm taking care of this baby, but why not just get drunk with my friend? It's my only chance.
Mark terrified of that.
The director was like, I regret not drawing a beer can in his hand. But I'm like, would that have been too dark of a drunk Homer tucking in Maggie?
I think so. Also, Patty's horrible snoring, as somebody who is a terrible snorer, I wonder if Patty just has undiagnosed sleep apnea. Now she could get a CPAP machine and
Even more noise.
Well, but it's a long white, a quieter white noise instead of just the snoring.
I love Bart holding up her brassiere and going, "Ay, caramba!"
Yeah,
that's great.
I've never seen a blackhead.
But you know who I'm giving line of the show to? I guess we're skirting over that. Maggie misses Marge and completely disappears,
and she runs away, which is a very Shorts era Maggie thing to do.
Yes.
Like there was a two parter across two Tracy Ullman episodes of Maggie's Run Away, and it was just silly adventures of her getting into things that would have killed her. It was very cartoony.
It feels very like an old school cartoon where there are a lot of premises based on this, like a baby just like traveling and almost dying. I believe Baby's Day Out was based on that old premise.
Yeah,
that horrible movie.
I think the movie introduction of Vern Troyer. He had to play the baby.
Oh dear God, that poor man.
If you look at those scenes, they're kind of amazing, like these car accidents in Times Square and like this little baby standing there, and that's Vern Troyer.
No wonder he peed on reality TV. but it's real life, everybody.
I want to just take one episode to give line of the show to just the unnamed workers of Springfield because they crack me up.
Yes.
That's the joke.
First, the hairdresser. Maggie thinks she sees Marge's hair, but it's just a hairdresser
giving a very similar
hairstyle.
So, what's the verdict?
Oh, dear God. I can't even put a bag over my head.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
So disrespectful. Like, yes, you can.
Yes, you could. And this is totally just me-centric. Another line of the show.
That's the joke.
Hello, Governor. Lube job while you white.
Don't touch me.
That's the Just Stamp the Ticket guy.
Yeah, it's Just Stamp the Ticket telling him that, who I do think, you said it before, I think, but he becomes Surly Duff. Like, he's...
Kind of, yeah. No, you're right, you're right. In the same voice.
Yes, it's I love the cadence of Surly Duff.
But that is squeaky voice teen, which... I checked it on Wikipedia, and they say it on a previous episode, but I swear this is the first... Really? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this felt like the first true squeaky voice teen to me.
There have
been squeaky voice guys, but voiced by... Like, okay, there was the one where the manager at the movie theater...
Voice.
The manager at the movie theater is a pimply-faced teen.
Regular voice, though.
But it wasn't squeaky voice.
Yeah. I thought it was somebody in a fast food thing.
Also that he had, like, the teeth. He had the teeth thing that the overbite that squeaky voice teen has as well.
So, Lube Job While You Wait, just for me... became, and I'm very sorry, shorthand with my friends went for all British people. And that's, whenever we heard an accent, Lube Job While You Wait, just don't touch me.
I do like the incongruity of Buckingham Palace meets an oil change place.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a perfectly Springfieldian idea.
Yeah, and I really love when Homer visits Patty and Selma's and they won't let him into the apartment. Yes. And she's like, don't steal any light bulbs. And he looks around.
He's visiting his own children to find his other lost child. And just,
I think their hope is that if Marge were to die on that trip, that they wouldn't have to give him back to Homer. Though Bart and Lisa should have thought something was wrong when he says, have you seen Maggie? Mm-hmm. They should have had more questions than just like, no, we haven't.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Again, I love this take.
Come on, kids. It's time to rub Aunt Patty's feet.
It's such a long shutter.
That shuttering animation is great, though.
It's great. And I'm skirting up the lost baby hotline. Another season 3 Simpsons hotline joke.
Stuff. Hello, I'd like the Department of Missing Babies.
Please hold.
Baby, come back. Listen, baby. You can blame it all on me.
Who is that?
I don't know that singer. I should have looked that one up. I just love that scene, and it's an expensive joke, but a fun one. I really like that. But I like how they wash over it. But Homer committed a crime.
Yes,
like,
totally.
He's in jail for this. And also when I did like the joke. If he says, "Time for your 9 a.m. feeding," looks at his watch. Ha ha ha. But being almost 3 hours late to feed your baby seems like a very big risk.
Yeah,
like,
babies just need so many calories.
Yeah.
Also, the band is Player, who wrote that song.
Thank you.
But it doesn't matter because Marge isn't there because she's still at Rancho Relaxo with Troy McClure.
By now you've seen what Rancho Relaxo has to offer. But remember, we can't tell you how to have a good time. You have to tell us. As I said to Dolores Montenegro in Calling All Quakers, have it your way, baby.
Great quote.
It's just the imagery that conjures in my mind, whatever the dramatic situation is with the Quakers.
I do
calling
like,
all Quakers.
Calling God, all Quakers.
And I do love when he's on the hang glider, like he just pauses for a second to wave back at the camera. Like, yeah, bye.
Yeah, he managed to stop wind and momentum altogether just to wave back at the camera.
And it's funny that Marge would watch Thelma and Louise when within 2 years she will reenact the entirety of it with
that's amazing.
When somebody is mentioned, when I Thelma Louise is mentioned to me, I still think that's a line from the film.
Let's go, Thelma.
Okay, Louise. I do not believe that's ever said in the film.
I don't think so.
I think that was just their shorthand to let you know what she was watching.
But I like that you're right. Henry Homer had committed a crime, and the show acknowledges that. But if
they just hand wave it
ineptitude.
Away.
You the man who reported the lost baby?
Yes.
Can you describe her?
She's small. She's a girl.
Bingo!
Oh, Maggie!
Not so fast. You're wanted on 3 counts of criminal neglect.
You found my baby. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Shucks. Just don't do it again, you big lug.
I love that.
Yeah, by the end of this episode, both Homer and Marge should be in prison for what they've done. I mean, I don't know if Marge should be in prison, but they would probably put her in prison in a modern
situation. But he has an actual crime ready to charge Homer with. But also that, like, I love that she's a baby, she's a girl.
Bingo!
That's 51% of all babies?
And he just hands her off. And I loved his, like, oh, shucks, you big lug. Which is the reaction if Homer was a woman, that's what the reaction was supposed to be normally. And so that he's still bashful and being kissed by Homer.
Yeah.
And it was just so happy. And it was more dark to me now than it was when I saw it as a kid of Homer talking through how to tell Marge that Maggie is dead.
That is dark,
You should assume Peggy is dead. Here's the best ways to explain this.
It's fine. I mean, this is a very economical scene, and they don't have much time left, but it's funny how Wiggum is like, hey, you're the guy that your wife was stuck on the bridge. Why is your baby missing now?
Yeah,
like,
your whole family should be exterminated.
It's been a month here, and I really think I should arrest you this time. And
Springfield has like four cops, and they all have to tend to you within 2 days.
Now, when I think of relaxing, I do think back to Marge's list of things like hot fudge sundae, chocolate chip cheesecake,
and a bottle of tequila.
I love that line. It's like, I like seeing Marge cut loose and not be so reserved and like have fun, but it involves being alone.
This is a side of her the writers forget.
The sexy hair sequence. Marge is legit sexy.
I mean, it's kind of sad to me like when they're like, how can we get in touch with Marge? She's the mom. She's not interesting. Well, what if we made her sexy? That's the only angle you can find. That's why I give David M. Stern tons of credit that like he found something to do with her life.
Moment.
No, it was. I loved her. Just the
Marge
sigh.
As an object. It was great.
Yeah.
No, but her sigh of relaxation was great.
I mean, it was kind of a visual joke, but it was also just like a nice character moment. She slowly sinks into the bathtub and pops back up, and her hair just falls to the side. It's a very beautiful piece of animation.
It speaks to how much she does, because she prepares her hair that way on purpose every day, in addition to flushing bowling balls and poking out pimentos from bologna.
And did you notice that they snuck in again? Boo, whoa, jeez.
Yeah, the
Homer, the
season one.
Bow, whoa, jeez.
There's got to be a name for that somewhere.
I call it the bow.
The bow.
But then he gets Maggie back, tapes her down, and he goes to get Marge. And
kicks the kids into the car.
Yeah, I love that. That's another just great visual joke. Just like, roof.
Yeah.
Again, this episode is a visual delight.
We don't talk about Mark Kirkland as much as the other directors, but he's great. I still think he's great. Maybe not as like stand out in terms
he's
of how he draws characters. Yeah.
And he doesn't have a character that's his, like say David Silverman knows he does the best Homer, the best Krusty, all that stuff. But he definitely he's a workmanlike guy at his job, and he has done, I believe he had just directed more episodes than anybody.
Yeah, and Brad Bird is on this commentary, and he talks about how he had to like break Mark out of doing these Hanna-Barbera things because he worked in the shitty animation mines.
Yeah.
He was not a stranger to television animation. He's like, no, we can do camera angles, we can do lighting, we can do this and that. We can spend our money smartly.
Brad was one of the lucky ones that he got to come up through Disney. Like,
yeah,
he was one of a late Disney guy, and so the difference between that and
Cal Arts fella.
Yeah, well, he was a Cal Arts guy too, and also I believe Susie Dieter was one of the assistant directors on it and worked on a lot of the Marge scenes, and she would go on to be a great director in her own right, and who would go to work on The Critic. She, I think, one of her most famous episodes of The Simpsons would be the one where Bart dates Meryl Streep, or Meryl Streep plays
I know she did Bart Gets Famous as well.
Ah, that's actually that's his best one.
This is a stupid observation. I have nowhere else to put it.
Okay,
if you don't mind,
go for it.
Marge flopping on the bed after she's done hula dancing looks like she's in the same outfit as Lisa in her introduction in the first episode.
Oh yeah, except they color in her grass skirt, so it's not just like
flesh. You don't just see flesh colored child vagina.
But
Simpsons.
If we haven't said it before, please watch Family Dog, the Brad Bird TV special.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You can see how that informed the Simpsons look in terms of moving the camera, doing smart angles.
Watch the Family Dog Amazing Stories.
Yeah, not the cartoon.
I can't vouch for this
not
show.
Not the TV series. It's not available in any format, is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Barely any of it is.
The other one won an Oscar. It was Oscar nominated, I believe, and I can't recall if it won an Oscar.
If it exists, I'm going to find it better.
That and Sammy.
I did go on a search for this weekend.
And Fruitless?
Leave me alone.
I missed the line earlier, but I did also love... I love complicated phone directions of just press 9 on the phone,
and then
the pound sign, then 483, and we'll do the rest.
It's kind of funny how Marge is having a conversation with Troy, and he's like following her through her vacation. It feels like that's that show, The Heart She Holler.
Oh, yeah.
Where one of the characters is a videotape, a series of videotapes.
And for every occasion, he's like, they can all talk to him.
Yes.
I love The Heart She Holler
so much. Great. Yeah. Please watch that. It's disgusting, though, but you've been warned.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for the episode.
That's a sweet ending.
I love the ending, the callback to the over-talking.
Never leave again.
Never leave again.
Hi, did you miss me?
Never leave again. Never leave again. Never leave again. Never leave again.
I missed you, too.
Oh.
And from now on, I hope you'll help me out a little more than you're used to.
You got it, sweetheart. You have enough blanket there?
Well, I could use a little more. And sometimes I want a little time to myself. And I expect you to help.
Mom, I think I speak for everyone in this bed when I say you have nothing to worry about. Now let's just try and get a little shut-eye, okay?
Aw, Nice little Maggie eye gag at the end.
Yeah, this is one of the after Lisa's Pony. I think this is the second episode where their eyes and their teeth glow in the dark as a in your classic cartoon.
It's motif. it's a sweet ending, but it is a lie. They don't help her. She's put upon by the next episode.
Well, Bart cuts her off. Like, let's just go to bed. Like, yeah, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, we're not really doing this. It's still a codependent relationship, and we're going to use you, but. I think I look back on my time as a kid and I wish I had been a better son to my mom, and I took her for granted, and this episode filled me with sadness over my own youth, spent youth.
I have different feelings towards my mother that, like, she took too much time out of her own life to invest in me and then put a lot of pressure on me to do a bunch of shit that I didn't really need or want to do and still does. And then makes it seem like it's my fault.
I don't get that guilt. My mom just worries all the time about me, and that's kind of
the like, did you want something to eat? No, I just ate. Well, I made you food. You don't want to eat your food? Like, I don't, like, would you just stop? Like, I'm literally on a conference call.
That's a hard game.
Yeah.
That's a hard game to play.
I guess it's probably not appropriate for this show. Anyway, if you can recommend a therapist, Cantista on Twitter.
But yeah, this was a really good episode. I can't remove it from my memories of my mom, but it's also just a great episode and shows you that Marge can be fun.
Yes.
Like, she can be just as good of a source of funniness as anybody else.
And something I love about these season 3 episodes is that they believe so much in these stories that there is no B story. It's like, we're going to tell one story. And I mean, Homer and Maggie is a B story, but it's directly related to what's happening. Yeah, they don't just come together at the end, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I did one other thing I wanted to praise was the animation of when Homer is doing his puppet show and then Santa's Little Helper bites his hand. Mm-hmm. The animation of, like, it's so fluid of him just flinging his hand around, like, and he's in so much pain, you feel
and
everything.
And I love Maggie clapping when that happens at the end.
Yeah, it's a great little comic strip jokey moment. I really enjoyed it.
So thank you so much for listening, everybody. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. If you want to find me, you can look me up on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for usgamer.net and somethingawful.com. And you can listen to my other podcast, Retronauts. It's a classic gaming podcast. Comes out every week. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. Everybody else, where can we find you? And what do you make?
LaserTimePodcast.com. A bunch of articles. A lot of cartoon stuff has for me there as of late. A lot being like 2 a month. Jesus. But also the Laser Time podcast. If you like this show, I can't imagine we don't share some humor sensibility. Give it a shot. It's largely retro focused, but a lot of pop culture. And then there's also 302010, which is a pop culture portal into the past 30, 20, and 10 years ago to that week. That 7-day period.
A recent Laser Time delved deep into Bart's long time working on the Butterfinger ad campaign.
You know, my favorite 302010, so I can mention it. Everything on the show had, like, Cable Guy is the middle for 96 and has all the other actors in it. Because 86, the same week, was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Matthew Broderick and Cable Guy. Also Jack Black in Nacho Libre. Ten years from now.
And I bet Kevin Bacon is connected to all of them in a sinister
web.
Yeah,
he probably is. No, and you know,
Ben Stiller is a much better Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
So this is brought to you by Patreon, patreon.com/lasertime. That's where the entire first season of Talking Simpsons is. Indeed. So if you're a new fan and you're like, hey, they started at season 2. We didn't start with season 2. We just kept the first 13 to the loyal Patreon listeners, and you can be one of them. Yeah. $5 a month gets you access to it. And if you start there now, there should be, just scroll back through some of the most recent posts, you'll see a big picture of Black Smithers from season 1. That's where the links to all the season 1 episodes are. And you can download them as well as our season 2 wrap-up, which was incredible. Such a good episode.
I love it. The secret hidden Nazi short that you don't know about, probably. Maybe.
The greatest. Yeah. It was, even I learned something about The Simpsons that day.
I out-nerded everybody. Thanks so much for listening, folks. We'll be back next week when Edna Krabappel falls in love. Later.
Infotainment.